wanna be down with the kids.
Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the Kings of Houston Sports Radio, John and Lance.
Good Tuesday morning, everybody. The band is back together. Lance, back in studio from his stint in Indianapolis. Noah's on the board today, and off we go. And the biggest story yesterday in all of sports is Calvin Ridley. Calvin Ridley suspended for the year for gambling. He apparently made a total, he says, a total of $1,500. That's questionable. That is questionable. Here is Adam Schefter yesterday announcing the suspension of Calvin Ridley.
Now, you remember during the season that Ridley was away from the Falcons training complex to deal with mental health issues. And the NFL believes it has found enough evidence to determine that during a five-day span in November, Ridley bet on football games.
He bet. Here was the deal. Ridley placed multi-legged parlay bets involving 3, 5, and 8 games that included the Falcons to win. The investigation had determined there was no involvement from any team, players, coach, etc., placed via his mobile device out of state. That's how he got caught. He was in California. He was in Florida. He downloaded an app to bet. An NFL Network, Calvin Ridley's bets were parlays that was factored. Apparently, there is a genius watch group that oversees NFL names and watches to see if they're on any app to bet, and that's how he got caught.
Yeah, so one group saw it and alerted another group, which alerted the league. So it is it's in place to try to protect the integrity of the league. There were jokes going around, and I saw a meme of a FanDuel account that said, username, Calvin Ridley from the Falcons. and the bets were on there, which I thought was hilarious. But it's a big deal to the league now, because for them to have legalized gambling, it's, the biggest fear for every organization, pro or college, is integrity of their game. And so now, New York Post had a big article yesterday. The NFL lost its bet on integrity with Calvin Ridley's gambling. And what it talks about is year one of really legalized gambling for football, and then being in bed with legalized gambling. And this is the first year. In the first year, you have a player who's already betting on sports, which is a huge no-no for the league, and bet on his team.
Yeah, but Josh Shaw did it a couple of years ago. There's Paul Hornung. There's Alex Karras. Listen. Every NFL locker room you walk into, the very first thing that you see is that you cannot bet on games.
Yeah, right.
So this is not about that they're in bed with gambling. There's no question about it. The NFL's always been in bed with gambling.
Well, not
always.
Not in bed. Gambling was going to move on with or without them, but now they are taking money actively.
But that's okay. But okay. Regardless, and I've seen so many people. Oh, this should be a slap on the wrist. Oh, what if? Okay, no. Why aren't they promoting steroids? If it's
slap on the wrist is the dumbest thing I've ever heard of. You cannot have a.
You can't have
the
it.
The integrity of the game cannot be called.
You cannot have it. All of these guys, Ezekiel Elliott hit women, Ben Roethlisberger, Greg Hardy, all of these suspensions are 4 games, 6 games, and he gets a year. Yes, he gets a year. There is a risk-reward in this. You know, I knew a guy back in the day, way back in the day. Mm-hmm. He had a couple of Major League Baseball players. It was a book, and he had a couple of Major League Baseball players. He said, listen, I will not allow them to bet on baseball. They can bet anything else that they want, but they cannot bet on baseball. I'm not going to allow it because I don't need that heat. You know what's going to happen?
Because that guy would have the heat come down. Oh, Major League Baseball would make sure they got
that
him.
That guy would get taken down.
Right.
So he said, I don't want any part of it. You cannot, you got to stay away from this thing. Look at the basketball with the what was his name? The referee that went to prison. He threw the games, the Sacramento game, and you remember the referee?
Tim Donaghy.
Tim Donaghy.
Yeah,
Tim Donaghy.
You're like, oh my God, yeah, and can you imagine? It's more access now to gambling than ever before.
Yeah, but here's the difference, and this is so important. Back in the day, Johnny Unitas and all of these guys, the Arizona State, we watch Bad Money.
Headache.
Bad sport. Bad sport. You don't have any money. Well, you get beholden to these gamblers because you lose a $10,000 bet that you don't have the money to pay for. These guys are making so much money. The risk reward for Calvin Ridley, he risked $11.1 million to win a $1,500 parlay. That's so stupid.
And John's saying that his contract.
Yes.
Yeah. When he had mental health issues.
Right.
Stepped away from
the
team.
Well, that's another layer to this whole thing.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of people who thought he bailed because he didn't want to be a Falcon.
But I heard, you know, James Harden in game 5 against the Spurs. Oh, he threw that game. He's making $40 million a year. Why would he throw a basketball game?
I don't think it was about gambling. I think maybe Kevin McHale made James mad, and he said, okay.
What?
Oh, you think that I shouldn't? Okay,
watch this.
That
happened with Kobe.
It happened with Kobe because he absolutely, something happened because James wouldn't even look at shots.
Yeah.
Something happened. I don't know. I think you're right. I don't think you can't have an amount of money worth it to make it. Now, unless you had it where it's not for James, but there's something on the line if he didn't do, you know, like if somebody had your kid up in a tower somewhere with a gun.
No. But, okay, let's say you made some bets. If you're James Harden, just a hypothetical, you made some bets with a bookie. I got that hanging over. I got all this, James. Okay.
Yeah. No.
It's not about the money.
It's about the contract potentially. And here's the other thing, because there are so many bets in game now, there are so many individual prop bets. You know, you think about it, a quarterback could have a huge impact on what's the over under here. A friend says, hey, quarterback, hey, I want to bet huge on over catches for this guy. The over under is 3.5. I got you. Put as much as you want on it. I'll make sure that we get some
usually
quick
those have a circle on them, though.
Usually
a prop bet has a circle on it, which means it's a limit of so much money.
Yeah, not Super Bowl prop, but yeah, like, but you can get down on it, and then you can have other people get down on it as well. And there's ways, and you can get down at different places. What I'm saying is the NFL really doesn't want any questions about the integrity of their sport. And what Calvin Ridley did, just betting on a game that for a team that he and players who he's in contact with, you know, the worst case scenario would have been if he's betting against the Falcons, would have been the worst case scenario.
Right.
But you saw what happened with Pete Rose. Pete Rose is out of baseball forever and will never get into the Hall of Fame. Maybe ever. This may be one. Shoeless Joe Jackson can't get in. I think baseball doesn't want to make an exception because they never want it to pop back up. So they're just going to say, no, if you do this, you are going to be gone. Now, you can make comparisons like people are trying to do. What about steroids? What about this? What about the? Listen, they said this is the rule. They said it in advance. They're trying to go through information he said, she said with Ezekiel Elliott. They do it with Greg Hardy. They do it with Ben Roethlisberger. This is a clear cut. This is a clear cut. If you do it, this is the suspension.
And it has to be. I mean, I understand people. Oh, this is so stupid. The league. Oh, you guys are hitting women. And it has nothing to do with that. You have to keep the integrity of your sport. And, oh, by the way, you can't be dumber. You cannot be dumber risking multi millions just to make a bet. And, oh, by the way, if you believe this is the only... Calvin Ridley went to Florida, downloaded an app, and started betting on games. If you think this is the first time that Calvin Ridley... I mean, to be able to... And he's betting multi-leg parlays. You have to know what you're doing to bet multi-leg parlays.
Or somebody give it to you.
Oh, yeah, I guess. Or, yeah. I mean,
somebody just
he had nothing to do.
You know
he was
what a parlay
around
is?
For months.
Right. Somebody could say, you know what? So apparently he was in Florida and it was legal for like a 2-week span in Florida on a certain app. And he made his bets on this app during the like 2 weeks it was legal until I think the state government came down and somehow got rid of it. But he did it during this time frame, during the small time frame. But it's going to be a big deal around the league. You know, Calvin Ridley was rumored to be traded to different places. So there were rumors about maybe the Dolphins would make a trade for him. Well, it's not anymore. I mean, now it's out. Calvin Ridley is gone for the year. That was one of the things that came out, and the league made an example of him so that they don't have to come out and do it very many more times. The other, well, let's listen to, is it commissioner? Which audio? Sorry, Noah. Just say it on the air. It's fine.
Yeah, it's Schefter talking about teams were unaware of the situation with Ridley.
Okay,
yeah.
Go ahead. Let's hear it. Here's Adam Schefter.
They did not know what it was with Calvin Ridley, but they knew there were serious issues that were facing the Falcons wide receiver. I think many assumed that it was related to his mental health when, in fact, it turned out to be bets he placed while he was away from the Falcons on leave for his mental health.
Yeah.
Well, can you imagine all the people?
He really had nothing to do.
Twitter who were calling him brave, like at Calvin Ridley. You are the bravest person I have ever met in my life. He's like, for the 8-teamer? I know. It is super hard to win those. No, for the mental health.
Oh,
yeah, that, yeah. Oh, I know. Thanks. Thanks. Also, for playing three dogs in your on your three-leg parlay, and they're all money-line dogs.
Money-line
dogs? That is very brave. You're playing underdog. No, I was talking about your mental health. Remember? You're supposed to.
What?
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
Yes, and if anyone questions your integrity, we will attack them on Twitter and try to cancel them.
Yeah.
Well, are you attacking Moneyline dog plays, or what are you doing?
Does anybody know where I could get better odds on on this Falcons game? Because right now, at -4, I don't like them. So if you guys can tell me with my mental health, I'm having a nervous breakdown trying to get 3.5 on the Falcons right now. It's 7-11 ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. Yeah, so, I mean, that was the big story yesterday. Lance not being here was another big story. The reason was, allegedly, combine stuff. We will talk to him. He's back now after his combine stint in Indianapolis. We'll find out what went down and what we should be looking for now as the combine is over and we head towards the NFL draft. How far are we? What is it? April 22nd? Is that the draft?
No. It's after that. It's a week after that.
It's a week after.
Yeah, that. We're everything's late. A week later because of the season being a week later.
Oh, okay.
So it's actually into May.
Oh, man, that's a long time we got to wait for.
By the way, I had two things that I've been told. Sean Payton and his crew are setting up camp in Dallas because they are the next head coaches. I think I mentioned this last week.
Yep.
Also, Combine, from what I heard from a little birdie, Combine will be in Dallas next year.
Really?
It has not been mentioned, but somebody who swears they know the deal and somebody who's got a decent connection says, watch for the Combine to be in Dallas next year. And the concern is all the coaches are just going to say, we're just not going. If this is just going to be a for fan event where you're just going to get it there, because we already have fans come into the building now for the event, and they turn up music. Coaches got super pissed that they're trying to play music and turn it into a dun 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 bum dun bum bum dun 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 one guys, and they can't hear the names of who everyone is, and they're like, turn the music off.
Yeah.
So they had to take the music out and eliminate the music while they're trying to watch the combine and the players and the coaches. I heard from a coach yesterday. He just said, listen, if this just turns into a big fan event where they want to take it to Jerry World and they want to, because they want people to throw footballs through a, you know, through a circle, and they want to do this and that inside the building and bring rappers in to do stuff before the combine events, we're just not going to go. We'll just do stuff on Zoom. And that would actually be a nightmare for the league because they don't want to make, because then the next step is going to be players saying, we'll just go to do stuff at our pro day.
Yeah.
We don't need to do it here at the combine if they're not even going to be here.
All right, we'll talk more about it on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, but you can just watch from your patio then.
Yeah, Texas Custom Patios. I can't wait. This Thursday, we finally get a meet about the kitchen we're putting in. I should have had the kitchen put in, honestly, at the very beginning, but it was something I decided not to do. But with the financing, I had saved up money over like 2 years. I'd been saving money to buy a patio. And I really wanted to get this patio with cash. And so it was broken up into payments, and we set it up that way. It was great. And from the very beginning, seeing what the design was, how I was going to pay for it, what was going to be in there, I added a couple features that I didn't have previously. And from the very onset, I absolutely loved it. I had him come out and put a channel drain in there for where water would come whenever it rained real hard sideways. And just the little things that they're able to do to make your experience so great. Anything that you can conceive of, they can achieve for you. And many of the things you don't even recognize that you're going to want, they anticipate it for you, and they can build it into the actual plans so that you can see what your outdoor oasis can look like. It really adds a dimension of livability like you've never experienced before. Make sure you check out the website at TexasCustomPatios.com. See their before and after and see what your place could end up looking like. TexasCustomPatios.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.
You're listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I'm looking at odds for number one overall pick. Evan Neal and Ikem Ekwonu are at the top of the board with Aiden Hutchinson.
Yep. I would scratch Aiden out of there. Those two are the ones who are going to be the top two.
Who's going to be?
It's tough. My mock draft comes out today for NFL.com. Tell you what, it's 7:30. You want to do later? 8:00. I'll reveal who my top six are.
We'll do it. Let's do it.
Let's do it. Let's create some appointment here. Let's tell you what, at 7:45, I'll give you who the top six are, including the Texans, obviously, at 3:00. I got a new number 3. And I got a trade inside the top six as well. I think it's going to go Ikem Ekwonu.
Who do you think is better?
Oh, Evan Neal. Right now, Evan Neal.
Why is Ekwonu moving?
Well, because I think that Ekwonu has this really dog mentality. They're going to like. He's very smart. He's sharp. He's got a very ferocious temperament on the field, where Evan Neal's a little more laid back. Evan Neal, though, is in great physical shape. Both of them are big, strong guys. They looked apart. Evan Neal did not work out at the combine. So I think that right now, Ikem Ekwonu has the juice. Once Evan Neal has his workout in Alabama, it may swing back. So if I had to guess, I'd say Evan Neal's the safer one. Jacksonville, it's really going to be a case of, do you want the guy that you think has the upside and the personality and temperament, or do you want the guy that's an Alabama pedigree tackle who has traits and who's
better on tape?
You know, on tape, Evan Neal is Evan Neal. Right now. Yeah.
Well, then that should be the pick. If Evan Neal is there at 3, could you possibly pass on him if you're the Texans?
No, like you could trade. I can tell you this, the offer for Evan Neal will be pretty good. Like the ability to get him, the best case scenario for the Texans is Ekwonu goes 1 and Aiden Hutchinson goes 2 or anybody else goes 2. And Evan Neal's at 3, because then you've got
any way Detroit passes on Aiden Hutchinson?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, 100%. Especially if somebody wants to trade up. So that's the thing. The ability to get your hands on Evan Neal is going to have value. It's not usually it's trade up is for quarterback. So if Evan Neal were there at 3, the Alabama tackle, the Texans would all of a sudden have phone calls flying in, especially from the Giants at 5, and I think the Panthers at 6 would both be up there saying, hey, and who knows who else would be, but that would be somebody who's number one on some teams' boards, and they would say, hey, Texans, we'd like to swap with you. And now you'd have to make a decision. So just knowing what you know, if somebody said, hey, we'll flip flop our number one spot. Let's say the Jets said, hey, Texans, we will flip flop. We will give you our number 10 pick this year and our first rounder next year.
Mm. Mm.
But we want to keep our number 4.
Mm.
Would you do it?
Wow. 10? You Jets moved down to 10, but good. You get number 1. Yeah, they're not going to be good. So you'd get
we're not flip flopping 3 and 4.
You get 2 top 10 picks next year.
Or what if the Carolina? Or what if the Giants said we'll give you 7 Texans? We'll give you our 7th pick and a second rounder this year and a second rounder next year.
No, I want your 5th pick this year. Mm-hmm. I want your 5th pick.
That's the thing. You don't want to 10 is that 10 is
10 is way more, back now. What's more there yucky. At 10?
Maybe Sauce Gardner. Definitely Derek Stingley.
If you love Sauce, if you think Stingley's going to
be gambling a little bit.
But you need that you need everything.
Malik Willis?
No, you're not going to take Malik Willis.
It's weird. NFL.com, Dan Parr and Chase Goodbread when they put that or Chad Reeder, they've got 3 needs for every team and they've got Texans quarterback. I'm going to make them change it cuz that's just not an accurate. Like, the Texans are not going to approach. You may think they need a quarterback, but they're not going to approach it as a need. So you really need to get quarterback out of there as one of the top 3. You can put literally any other position, and you'd be fine.
Right.
But not quarterback. That's the one position that they're not drafting. But at 10, let me give you an example. Some people.
Well, I don't
be
know.
There.
What if Kenyon Green, what if somebody's sitting there in a 4th or 5th round that they liked?
Yeah, well, they do need quarterback from a standpoint of they need a second quarterback.
Yeah.
I don't know that they're going to have a second-year guy and a rookie, though, as your top 2. I think they'll get a veteran. But they could. Yeah, they could draft a quarterback somewhere. I wouldn't make it one of the – for me,
no,
your top 3 needs to be your most likely first 3 selections. But in terms of who would be there at 10, I think that you would have maybe Sauce Gardner. You'd definitely have Derek Stingley, Trent McDuffie, a corner out of Washington. You would have Devin Lloyd for sure, linebacker out of Utah. You might have every receiver on the board. Garrett Wilson, Chris Olave, Drake London, Jameson, and now Treylon Burks, because Treylon had a bad combine, so he's going to fall. You would have Kenyon Green available. You would have center Tyler Linderbaum available. You might have Trevor Penning available, the tackle from Northern Iowa. You got some pretty good players. Mm-hmm. You know, you got some not David Ajabo, pass rusher from Michigan, maybe on the board there. Maybe Jermaine Johnson out of Florida State. You got some pretty good players. It's just, you know, you got a better player there. So it's an interesting scenario for the Texans. But I can tell you, if Evan Neal falls there, there will be a lot of phone calls, and it will be a tough decision for Nick Caserio, because does one player make all the difference, or would you gamble on adding multiple picks so that you can have a chance to build your team, your roster a little bit faster? That's going to be – because let me tell you, if you were to trade back to, let's just say 10 in this scenario – you took pick number 10. You got Sauce Gardner, and he ends up becoming a good cornerback. And you got next year's first-round pick in exchange for that. So then next year you have 2 number ones, maybe even 3 if you deal Deshaun Watson. Well, your rebuild could be a little bit quicker. Maybe you move back to 10 and you say, we'll take your number one this year, and we'll take we'll take your number one next year, and we'll take the number – we'll take a 3rd-round pick this year or a 2nd-round pick this year. All of a sudden, your rebuild is coming along very quickly if you make the right picks.
Yeah, if you make the right picks.
So people around the NFL have a lot of respect for Nick Caserio. They think he, you know, they want to see how he does on his own, but they think that he is, you know, he's a football guy. He's going to put a lot of time in. There were some discussions about Jack. I mean, people around football don't care for him and don't like him, but some people think he still has way too much influence on the team. Others think that he won't have any influence on what Nick Caserio does. But there are other people who believe that Nick Caserio is beholden to Jack Easterby, which I have a hard time wrapping my head around that personally. Now, Jack having the direct influence over Cal, okay, that's one thing, but I just don't see Nick Caserio saying, what do you think, Jack?
No.
Like, I just can't see that. And everyone also says Lovie Smith is 100% going to do things his way. He's not going to do, yeah. Like, Nick can boss him around in terms of what a GM would usually do for a head coach that he's hired, but he's not going to the other stuff is over. Now, Nick may have a much more substantial handle on who the pick is going to be. I mean, that's a GM's job, but he's going to do it based on what Lovie tells him he wants on defense. So Nick's style and Lovie's style are typically different. But at 7:45, I'll tell you why it's going to come together.
But
for the
Nick is going to take who Nick wants to take. There's no question.
He is, but a lot of times it's based on, what he'll do is he and Lovie will say, okay, this is what it should look like. Nick and his staff will say, okay, Lovie, here's the guys. Here are the 10 defensive ends. Here's the 12 linebackers we have. Here's the 15 cornerbacks and safeties we have. This is our board that we built out. Go ahead and show us how you like them stacked. And so they'll stack them. Maybe Nick will stick with it. Maybe he'll allow him to move some of them the way he wants. And then they'll have their board set. That's how it usually works when you're working in conjunction with the head coach. You wouldn't know it here because we've been so dysfunctional here forever. But that's how it's going to work. So Lovey's going to have a heavy hand in everybody that is picked. But they're going to be fed to him by Nick Caserio, too.
Right.
And Nick is going to be the one who ultimately has the decision.
I'm happy that they're actually doing stuff like a real team. Like a real team.
Yeah, it's a grown-up team. It is. With Nick Caserio and Lovey and Smith.
Yeah. Did you hear any of Jack Easterby's, the podcast he was on with Jacob and Jacob?
I did. We should probably play some of that.
Yeah, we will. A little bit later in the show, we'll play some of that. And
that had to be the safest podcast in history for him to go on that.
Did you see the two kids?
No. Are they super young?
Like 12 and, they were 12.
There's your answer.
That's why. They were like his neighbors or something. I don't know. I don't know why, but. And
Mr. Easterby,
all of his quotes went viral. So we'll play that a little bit later in the show. Lance will unveil his mock draft is going to look like.
There's a trade in there. The Texans have a new pick. I'm adding. There's a new number one. There's a lot of stuff going on, and you can hear the mock draft here first. You'll get it before NFL releases it today.
How about that?
Before people get to scream at me.
So what? That is my favorite day is when the comments come out.
Well,
your
you'll be happy with today.
Yes, today's my favorite day of the year. But first, I want to talk about Billy and Mary and all the great people over at Aqueduct Plumbing Company. They do exactly what we say that they do. They come to your home absolutely free, and they're going to give you a fair consultation on exactly what the problem is. What is your problem? Are you seeing mold? Do you have water pressure problems? Is there some kind of a leak somewhere? Foundation problems, cracks in your foundation, weird noises when you turn the water on, running out of hot water. They got the tankless water heaters. It is awesome. Listen, if you can put this down in your phone, 281-488-6238, because at some point you're going to need Aqueduct Plumbing.
John's right,
Your home for sports. ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, it's 7:31 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You may have heard this already. You may have heard we talked about it yesterday, Dell and I, a little bit. We didn't play the sound. But Jack Easterby, who is such a and it's not even polarizing.
Good dude.
He's not even polarizing. I guess there are some people on – every once in a while when you see everything he tweets, there are – 50, 100, 150, 200.
Very nice guy. One of the best guys. Really fun to talk to.
There are 50, 100, on podcast, 200 or 300
the very best
negative.
Podcast.
Get out. We don't get out of Houston.
It's a nightmare. Every tweet.
Now, there are
a
couple that say, Jack, we love you. You're doing a great job.
Really?
Well, it might be his family. I don't know. But yes, there are. It happens every once in a while. But. So the kids asked a pretty good question. What about all the criticism that he catches in the media? And here was his answer.
No, literally, well, you have to – hold on. The kids – need to tell people who this is.
Okay, so he was on a podcast with two kids, Jacob and Jacob, which is a wonderful name.
How old do you – I didn't see what
honestly,
they look like.
They were 14 and 12 or something like that in that neighborhood.
Okay.
Yeah, they were kids. And they're doing a podcast, and as you see, the three of them, Jack and the two kids, all in different places, on Zoom, and they asked him about all the criticism that he catches, that the team catches, and he catches in the media.
Well, it's funny you say that because I think it's one of the blessings of being in these positions, right? Is people care. They care so much. So I've always said, you know, anything that's put out there or potentially said in our building or potentially out. Outside of our building, I always say it's dressed up care, right? It's just, it's different. It may appear different, sound different, but what a blessing it is to have an opportunity to have a job where people care so much, right? And I would say in our building, I've been really blessed over the last 12 months specifically with some of the people that have we've been able to build systems and processes with that really you can just tell they care. And I think externally, when people really care and speak to how important it is to get it right, you know, I think and how much the Houston fan base cares that we get it right. I think those are just affirmations of that, the passion and the energy that go on in the public eye to try to affirm the fact they care we get it right. And so I would just say.
All right, that's enough. A care and blessing and care and you know,
is
what?
Is this really Jack's? I don't know. Jack's account has 7,367 Twitter followers. That's it. Is this really his account? Just at Jack Easterby.
I'm one of them.
Just some dirt God has been good to. It sounds like something he would say. Joined in April of 2011.
I guess that's it. I don't know. 7,000, is that not a lot?
No, that's not a lot for a guy who.
Look at Casario. See how many Casario has.
I would expect.
Does he even have
there's
one?
No chance Nick Casario has.
Yeah, right.
If he does.
How many does Cal have?
If he does, I don't know. But
does Cal know how to get on Twitter?
Now Jack said. What did Jack say? It's great. What did he say about the blessing? What was his comment? It's a blessing.
It's a blessing.
It's a reorganized blessing of sorts when people care so much.
Dude is under fire, and you know he is a positive guy. You know, until he goes behind the scenes with Cal and says how bad a job people are doing, we need to fire him.
Yeah,
you know he's a really
positive. He's positive until he even drops positivity when he fires people too. I talked to one person he got at the combine, and they're like, yeah, Jack will. Like, you know, after a while, you start to know when Jack is kind of plotting against you, but you don't see it. Like, you wouldn't know it unless you know it.
No.
Know what it looks like, you wouldn't expect it. But once you do know, and usually it is if Jack senses that you are dangerous to him or you're on a different side than him. Then you kind of go in with instincts of knowing what it looks like.
So I talked to somebody who knew immediately.
Yeah,
he knew immediately when something came out.
They said
sense. Oh my God, I knew right then I was done.
Yeah,
I knew
knew pretty quickly. And then he'll be positive to your face, kind of. But they said that he does you can sense that.
Yeah,
that things turn. Here's some of the what did he say? He said when people are. Care so much. It's a blessing. Here are some of the blessings that he's been given. Suck it, Reindeer Games. Can you tell us one positive thing that's happened to the franchise since you've arrived? Go ahead. I'll wait. Here's another positive one.
It's a blessing. It's not a positive.
There's not a single NFL team that would go near you. Here's another blessing. I've been a season ticket holder since 2007. I am not renewing this year specifically because of you.
Right. But that's a blessing.
People care.
That's care.
Here's another person who cares a lot. They photoshopped a snake, and Jack is holding. He's a snake handler in a church.
Shout out to the fish.
Here's another blessing.
Uh-huh.
Does Dr. Jim Muntz do tumor removals? That's a dab. He's calling you a tumor.
Well, that was because he tweeted about Doc Muntz being the doctor of the year in the NFL.
Here's somebody blessing Jack by putting his head on what's his name?
Cortland
Finnegan.
Yeah.
And Andre is punching Jack in the head. That's one of the blessings. Here's Mr. Rogers putting on a clown mask. Here's one of the stormtrooper shooting a finger at Jack.
Blessing, Lance. Blessing.
So when is your departure? So a lot of people caring a lot about the Texans. And give them blessings in different ways. It just looks different.
It does look a little bit different than most blessings. A
lot of blessings.
A little bit different than most blessings. Now, at least we got some clarity here. What does Jack do? Here was the quote. What I try to do is serve the rest of the building through what we call our SPT programs, which are sports performance teams. And the onboarding efforts of our team, and then also the logistical components and the data and technology components that support the team. Ta-da.
Mm-hmm.
Ta-da. Don't know what any of those words are. onboarding efforts. I get the logistical component. I guess he orders the hotel rooms for the team or something. But that's the job of the
he's in with the
football ops guy.
Yeah, he's in with also the sports performance, you know, the things, the catapult stuff. Like, Jack has his hands in several different things.
Yeah.
So it looks bigger, but whatever. I mean, Jack isn't going anywhere, so talking about him is kind of a waste of time. But it is you know, I was curious how some of the people around the league viewed the Texans.
Mm-hmm.
And they think they're a mess, obviously. There's not a lot of respect for ownership.
Well, that shouldn't be obviously.
I mean, a lot of it is predictable. Not a lot of respect for ownership. They kind of know the deal. It's not, you know, what we see is what they see. Nick Caserio has skins in the game. There's respect for him. It's not respect for Jack, really, as a football guy, at least. And then, you know, the thought is that's just that Houston's a complete mess. And primarily because for other people, it's just Deshaun Watson and ownership. Like, ownership has no control, and Deshaun Watson, and that's where it stops. There's some love for Davis Mills. There's some love for Davis Mills' potential after year one.
Yeah.
But
as well, there should
it's
be.
Funny because Money Smith, who I was doing a show with, somebody was looking at rookie. I think Bucky Brooks may have done rookie quarterback rankings, and Davis Mills didn't even hit the top five. And Money pushed back and said, hey, what about Davis Mills? Davis Mills, Stanford guy, said, you know, outperformed a lot of those guys.
I know we haven't talked about this. Would Davis Mills be the number one quarterback in this draft this year?
He would not, because obviously. So how position it. How do you want come?
Well,
out
let's say he had a good year back, at Stanford.
So if he had gone back,
yeah,
you know what, Davis would be one of the top three quarterbacks. Yeah, I think Davis Mills, because of his size. Now, there would still be concerns about his medicals. That's just in his background, but he's a bigger pocket quarterback than Matt Corral.
I saw him take hits last year. That's like, holy crap.
Yeah,
he took some huge hits.
I think
hits.
He would for sure be in the top four, maybe top two, for sure top three. Mm-hmm. I think probably top three. So, yeah, Davis would have been if he went back to Stanford, and let's just say went 24 touchdowns and 8 interceptions maybe, I think that's...
With his measurables, his arm?
That's a better year than Malik Willis had at Liberty.
Yeah.
But now Malik has some physical talent, but...
Davis has some physical talent.
I think Davis Mills is no worse than the top 40, a top 40 guy, and he would go ahead of Desmond Ridder. Yeah, I think he's probably a late first. He's probably a Lion at 32. Worst case scenario.
Hmm. Yeah.
He definitely left money on the table.
Unless he went to the right place, which right now it doesn't even you said doesn't the Texans quarterback isn't a need. That dude's given this job this year. He might.
Texas say he's not. They don't hand out jobs this early. It's his job.
There's no question it's his job. And would it be his job wherever he goes, even as a late first rounder? I don't know. I mean, would he start ahead of Goff next year?
No, Goff would get the start. Yeah. He'd be groomed as the quarterback in waiting.
Absolutely. And then who knows what kind of shot you're even going to get.
He started his earning potential earlier. So Daryl Morey was always. So I was part of a group that had a conversation with Jarrett Stidham when he came out. It was me, Van Gundy, Daryl Morey, Johnson, Ted Johnson, Chris Paul, and Sean Pendergast was actually there.
Ted put together a nice crew.
Yeah, it was an interesting crew, and you know, I had my perspective was draft related, and there. So the two most interesting ones, obviously, were Chris Paul and Ted Johnson. Really, Ted Johnson, because he was with Tom Brady when he came out. Mm-hmm. Chris Paul was his insight was incredible. You know what Daryl's insight was? You get to your contract for now, and you get to your earning potential now, and you get to your second contract faster. You come out. It was that simple. Here's the analytics guy. Well, here's what the numbers say. Start your contract now. And if you're good, you'll get to a second contract earlier. So your earning potential will be longer in football if you come out now. Now, he stayed. Had he come out, realistically, he probably would have been drafted earlier.
Yeah.
Actually, he went back to Auburn and got hurt because his offensive line wasn't
good.
That
year hurt him, no question. All right, when we come back, Lance's top six revealed here first. Next, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
I got the Texans with someone new, and you'll find out about when we come back.
All right, but you got insurance now.
Yeah, TGS Insurance. I got something that's not new. I got something that I've been telling you about for years, and some of you have not taken advantage of TGS Insurance.
And it's really simple. You text the word money to 232323, and they will begin the process of offering you a competitive homeowner's rate. They will shop it against multiple A-rated companies out there. Not there. They aggregate. You know, they do all the heavy lifting for you. So instead of you sitting on the phone the entire time waiting to see what the rate is going to be, in 15 seconds, you have quotes from multiple A-rated companies. They make it that simple. And all you have to do is text the word money to 232323. That's money to 232323. Get A-rated insurance at a competitive rate. Text the word money to 232323 right now. It's TGSinsurance.com.
ESPN 97.5. The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Welcome back on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 746. As Lance, well, you promised at 745, so you're a little bit late. But for those of you listening, this is groundbreaking stuff here, okay? Mm-hmm. This is your Mach 2.0.
Mach 2.0 will come out today.
Mach 2.0
on NFL.com.
will come out today.
And NFL Network, it'll be discussed on NFL Network. And some of my moves are going to generate a lot of discussion.
So how much?
Now see how many of these. Now watch the mock drafts after this mock draft begin to shift in with the copycats at ESPN.
Copycats?
The ESPN copycats. DJ and I are on board with, and some of these are similar to what DJ had. As well.
Oh, you and DJ colluding?
Well, we talk about players, yeah. We share information about all right, what
let
teams
me ask make. You this. How much different is your board compared to pre-combine?
Substantially different. Well, my board or my mock draft?
Your mock draft.
Oh, substantially different. I think, number one, you just find out some guys the teams like. And number two, traits matter. Guys who look different really matter. So, with that in mind, I'll go through my mock. Here's what I did. Here's my top.
So what was your mock? What was your mock 1.0?
My mock,
then we'll compare.
Yeah. That's a good idea. Let me pull it up right now. My first mock draft looked like this. I had a couple trades. My first mock draft looked like this. Here's my top 10. Evan Neal, number one, to Jacksonville. Detroit Lions, Aiden Hutchinson. Number three, the Texans trade with the New York Giants, 3-5, and number three is Ike Ekwonu to the Giants. Number four, Kyle Hamilton to the Jets. Number five, the Houston Texans select Derek Stingley, cornerback. He couldn't work out the combine, but when he does work out, he's going to work out really well. So I think
he hasn't played in like 6 years.
No, he played. He's played 10 games over the last 2 years.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, that's true.
10 games over the last 2 years. And he still couldn't do anything?
Number six, I had Charles Cross to the Panthers. Number seven, Kayvon Thibodeau to the Giants. Number eight, Treylon Burks to the Falcons. Number nine, David Ajabo to the Broncos. Number 10, Sauce Gardner to the Jets. Here is what it looks like now. With the first pick, I put Ike Ekwonu, number one. Put on Showmobile. Size, explosiveness, upside, and football character are all, when they're all considered, he grabs the top spot. Now, I do think Evan Neal, who didn't work out, will eventually, I think, may eventually overtake him at one. But for now, we're going to do that. I've got the Panthers at number six, who are desperate for a tackle, trading up with the Lions at number two. And I got the Panthers taking Evan Neal ahead of where the Texans are. I could 100% see Panthers, Jets, or Giants looking to jump the Texans for an offensive lineman. I 100% think that's possible. I think if the Lions have a chance to move back somewhere inside the top six picks and still draft and get extra picks, I think they will be open for business. Aiden Hutchinson is a short-armed defensive end. He's a hard-playing guy. He doesn't have the traits that some of these other guys do. I just think the Lions will say, you know what? There's enough good players that we'll move back. So I've got the Panthers up to number two, Evan Neal number two. The Texans, I have Trayvon Walker with Georgia, and after his combine, he is going to shoot up. And here's what I've got. And this is one where I'm just realizing, finding out that the coaches are getting involved now, because the coaches are just in on these players. They've been handling free agency, their own team, other teams, and they've just started before the combine. They start watching these guys, and the coaches, I think, are going to be. I heard he had a great interview. One guy said he's all man in terms of just the way he views football, the way he views, you know, basically he was saying he's a dude. I put Trayvon Walker has the size and length that Nick Caserio likes from his New England system and the toughness and athletic numbers that Lovie Smith is going to love. I had two different executives tell me that's a Lovie Smith guy. That's a Lovie Smith guy, Trayvon Walker, when I brought up this potential move. This pick will shake up draft expectations. So I think this is going to be the move that you're going to hear people talk about, because what it's going to do is it's going to alter the landscape of what you've heard from draft, and you're going to see some people start going in this direction because there is a lot of copycat and groupthink. But coming out of there, he had a
Trayvon
Walker has 35-inch arms. I'll pull it up for you right now. It's really
what is Aiden Hutchinson, like 12-inch arms?
No, 32 1/8.
Well, okay, he has what is Trayvon's?
35. That's a big deal. That's a lot more length. And getting into, if your tackles, if you're upset when your tackles have under 34-inch arms, why would you not be upset about a defensive end? They're going against each other. The whole point is to get into the other guy first. And so that's why Aiden Hutchinson's arms, if he were an offensive tackle, and he is 6'7" almost. He's 6'06" and 5'8". If he were an offensive lineman, Aiden Hutchinson would probably have to move to guard. Guard or center. Here's what he jumped 35.5 vertical leap. He ran a 4.51. This is Trayvon Walker. He's 6'5", 272. He has 35.5-inch arms, almost, you know, getting close to 36-inch arms. His hands are 10 3/4. He ran a 4.51.
What if Kenny Pickett had those hands?
I know. 35.5 vertical leap. His broad jump was over 10 feet 3 inches. His three-cone drill was faster than some wide receivers, which has changed the direction. And his short shuttle was a 4.32. These numbers blow J.J. These numbers are better than J.J. Watt's numbers. J.J. had a great combine. They're better than Aaron Donald's combine numbers. His numbers are really, really fantastic. And
I'm looking at a story here. It says Trayvon Walker moves into Detroit Lions territory.
Yeah. No, he is.
The Lions might take him
in, too. The Lions will take it. He's going ahead of Aiden Hutchinson. Yeah, and I think that's accurate. I think the Lions could sit still and draft him, but if that happens, then Ike Ekwonu or Evan Neal go to the Texans, and there's tremendous trade value because the Giants want tackle badly, the Panthers want tackle badly, and the Jets want tackle. So, but the Jets can go in a bunch of different directions. So the Texans are they're in good shape. Before, I thought it was kind of a dead pick, but now I think it's a really good pick to have because Trayvon Walker lit it up. So I've got Trayvon Walker, number 3, to the Texans.
Now, we know that that's a Lovie guy. Do we think that he will be able to convince Nick Caserio that Trayvon Walker is worthy of the third pick
overall?
Yes,
and here's why. It's also a Nick Caserio guy. This is a very rare situation where the two schemes, which are totally different, match up. So what the Patriots, what Nick Caserio has seen during his time in New England, John, is Richard Seymour, Willie McGinnis, Trey Flowers, Deatric Wise. All four of those guys are long arm, 35-inch arm guys who are like 260 to 285, 90 pounds. They're big, powerful ends who they fit a certain physical profile. They also come from heavy-duty SEC schools and hardcore football schools. So this is basically like another Alabama guy. Remember, Bill Belichick loves Alabama guys. Well, Kirby Smart in Georgia, it's the same thing. So you got a guy who loves football with great traits. He fits the Bill Belichick defensive end mold. And I was told by people who have worked with Lovie that he fits the Lovie Smith mold, which is almost unheard of. So that's why I just think there are too many things aligning here for Trayvon Walker. And it's at a pick of need for the Texans. I think Trayvon Walker will go 3. I got Kyle Hamilton going 4, but that's going to be an interesting one to see if the Jets stick with Hamilton because he ran a 4.6 on a super fast turf. That's a concern for some teams. Trevor Penning, this is one that's going to shake up mock drafts probably. Trevor Penning, I've got from Northern Iowa. He is the mountain. He is enormous. He is going to be with the Giants, and I mean enormous from the sense of just a thick bone, not a fat guy, just a thick bone, big guy. I've got him to the Giants at 5. I got Aiden Hutchinson falling to the Lions at 6. So I've got the Lions going from 2 to 6 and still getting Hutchinson. Aiden Hutchinson. Number 7, Jermaine Johnson. Florida State defensive end, who I did hear was kind of an a-hole in some of the meetings. He was coming off as kind of a little too cocky from teams. And we were at, he was actually at the baggage carousel with me when we got into Houston. And a scout who was there said, hey, make sure when you talk to teams, don't be an a-hole, okay? Show them what they want to see, at least until after the draft. This guy was basically telling them how to game the system. Number eight, I've got Kayvon Thibodeau to the Falcons. Number nine, Malik Willis to the Broncos, which will be the earliest Willis goes in most drafts. And then Sauce Gardner, I've still got at number 10. I'm not changing the Jets. The Jets, I've got Kyle Hamilton and Sauce. That's who I had last
Jets
time.
Fans think
Jets fans
are going to
be pissed. They don't want that. But I talked to a guy with the Jets, like, what are y'all's top two needs? He goes, we really want corner and safety. Okay. And I'll plug it in. Well, the fans don't like it. Now, if there was a tackle there, I could see them taking a really good tackle, too, because they could use that. So,
good stuff. Good stuff. So the Texans taking Kayvon Walker with the third pick. If he's sitting there, it'll be interesting to see if they...
Trayvon.
Excuse me. What did I say?
You said Kayvon.
Kayvon. Trayvon Walker with the third pick to the Texans. That'll be interesting. I was just looking at his highlights. Holy crap. Dude is a maniac. He's all over the field. So that's good stuff. Do you know what else is good stuff here? How about the... Well, you missed out on the Bronco order banks. It's over. Okay, March 7th was the last day you could order them. Sorry. But truck month is here. You can still build in price. And get this with the Ford F-150. See if you get this anywhere else in the city of Houston. You get 0% for 60-month financing, zero cash down, zero payments for 90 days. You lock in your price. You customize that vehicle. You don't pay over MSRP at Chastang Ford. There's no dealer add-ons. They are not going to mark up that car. They've got, and listen, if you don't want to wait for that customized vehicle, that's fine. They've got pre-owned vehicles on the lot, high-quality pre-owned inventory, no dealer add-ons. 90% of the pre-owned vehicles are certified. They'll also buy your vehicle. They're going to give you top dollar on that as well. If you're looking for the best deal that you're going to find on a Ford car or truck, I'm telling you, go somewhere else and see if you're going to get 0%, zero cash down, zero payments for 90 days. Go find out if you're going to find under MSRP. Go find out if you're going to get that vehicle exactly how you want it as opposed to how they want it. It's all happening at Chastang Ford. ChastangFord.com on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown Chastang Ford.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit InnovationMap.com today.
Do it now. Do it. Do it. Do it now.